Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the 14th consecutive season of the Spurs Show, the longest running Tottenham Hotspurs fans podcast in the world. Thank you if you're back again, and welcome if this is your first time. Well, in probably the most tumultuous pre-season in the club's history. First, there was the whole manager thing. Was it Nagelsmann? Then we thought Rodgers. Then Fonseca. No, it's Gattuso. Or it could be Poch. We were linked with a host of managers before we settled on one who was available weeks before. Nuno Espirito Santo. On the eve of the new season, we still don't know if our greatest striker since Jimmy Greaves is staying or going. And as we wave goodbye to Toby, Lamella, Joe Hart, Son has signed again. Gallini, Gil and Romero come in. We await the fate of a few more players, including Dyer, Winks, Sissoko, Ndombele, Aurier. Who will Nuno pick? And how are we set up as we start another bloody project? There we are. Now, before that, let me welcome our guest for tonight's show. Joining us again, the comedy writer, Andy Merriman is here. How are you, Andy? That sort of summed up the pre-season in one noise. Also joining us from Lilywhite TV, Eleanor Nicola returns. How are you, Eleanor?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. You're slightly upside down the way I look at you, but I kind of like it.
It's to the side, but my thing is not turning. I don't know why.
It's quite good. No, I don't mind. It's just got a bit of a creak neck. That's all. How have you been?
I'm good. Just doing the same stuff as I've always been doing.
Yeah, and how's the YouTube channel doing?
Yeah, going well. Just I do a podcast with my dad, which is quite cool.
Oh, what's that called? Plug that.
It's called It's Your Fault, I Support Tottenham.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, very apt.
And yeah, we just normally rant. There's not really much to be happy about, but we'd like to be happy. But at the moment, we're ranting.
No, absolutely. And joining us as well, a stalwart on the show from the wonderful Talking THFC on Twitter, Sean Cook returns. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, very good, thank you, mate. Ready to do it all over again this season.
And how have you been? How's your summer been so far?
Yeah, very, very busy with the Euros and then the Olympics. So it's all been fun and games, doing 1 a.m. shifts for the Olympics. But yeah, it's been very good, very enjoyable.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we talk about what's been happening in the pre-season, just to let you know, the return of football is always worth celebrating. Beer 52 are generously offering free beer to you while watching your team from the comfort of your home. They're offering 8 craft beers sourced and curated from the best brewers on the planet for free. All you had to do is go to www.beer52.com. Spurs.com, the Spurs, and just cover the £5.95 for the postage. As an independent British company, Beer 52 are passionate about the UK craft beer scene, and we continue to support us during this difficult period. If dark beer is not your thing, you can choose the light option, and your case will come in the award-winning beer magazine Ferment and a Tasty Snack. Don't worry, if you do change your mind, you can pause or cancel your account at any time for your free case of beer. Go to beer52.com/the Spurs. That's beer52.com/the Spurs. We got there in the end. Right, let's crack on. Sean, I said there at the top of the show, this has probably been the weirdest, most difficult pre-season that I can remember as a Tottenham fan. And trust me, I've been going too long. What's your feelings of it? I mean, it's been slightly messy, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a total mess. It's the only word for it, a total mess. And right from top to the bottom, you know, from players like Harry Kane acting perhaps the way he has, who, you know, I never in a million years would have expected that from the England captain, our star man, you know, our favourite player from, you know, I think this started way back from, you know, when they let Mourinho go, really, the week before the cup final. And obviously, I think that was definitely the right decision. It just came at a terrible time, and it set off this sequence of events that have led us to this. I think Kane's interview with Neville prior to the Euros was poorly timed. I think he showed his hand far too early, and it set off, you know, a chain reaction of, we knew his cards before they'd been dealt, and we knew how he was perhaps going to act way back before the Euros had even begun. I think
that whole Gary Neville thing, wasn't it? That Gary Neville podcast was utterly bizarre.
Yeah, you know. Swanning around a golf course, telling the world that, you know, I'm thinking about it, and I think I'm quite fancy leaving this summer. And it was poorly timed. And from the Euros as well, were a disruption to everyone, because getting a manager in and having a full pre-season with his squad has been affected as well. So right from top to bottom, it's been an absolute mess. And I feel for Paratici, who's come in and perhaps hasn't been given the conditions to work in that Levy promised him, or that he would have expected from a big club, having been at Juventus, and hopefully would have expected the same from Tottenham. But look, we've managed to salvage something. We're getting Romero in. I think he's a fantastic signing, and we're hopefully setting ourselves up nicely to have a nice solid defence this season. Tanganga, again, has been very impressive in pre-season. Oliver Skipp has come back in, and we've got a young squad that look hopeful and they look optimistic. And I think Nuno has set them up pretty well in pre-season to go on and have a good season. But the whole thing has been overshadowed by this Kane fiasco, and unfortunately, it looks like we're not out of the woods yet with it.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the irony is we could finally kind of sort our defence. Toby goes with our blessing and our good wishes, particularly Joe Hart went. They also said some nice things. It'd be so ironic that we finally kind of tighten up and improve the defence. And then we could have the situation, we could be playing Man City beyond with no recognised, you know, proper centre-forward up front again.
Yeah, I mean, we got ourselves in this position where we just never had a decent number two. I mean, at the end of the day, we've never had a decent number two. I mean, Vinicius, we got so excited just because we signed a striker. Like, it didn't matter who it was, it just was a striker. We just got so excited that we've just never, we don't ever have, like, not even like for like, but like a decent number two or someone that can come in. And if we did, we rely on them too much. So when I say that, I mean like the right back position. When we had Kyle Walker, we let Kyle Walker go. And then, you know, we had to, we never replaced. Trippier had to become number one. And now we find a position where we're letting Kane go.
Why should we not want him to go?
In my personal opinion, he should go. If you don't want to be here, I just think if you don't want to be here, don't play here.
Yeah, no, fair.
I don't
that's
care
why
who you are. I don't care
opinion.
What your name is. I. But that's just my opinion on it. I don't.
Yeah,
think,
I agree.
I think that the club is always bigger than any name, and I just think that if you don't want to be here, go. But just because I want now, I don't think he should be here. That doesn't mean the board are acting well. There, it's an inept board that is not putting the right things in place to be able to do this. Like, yeah, we're going to get 100. Let's say we get 150 million for Kane. Okay, why can't we do what City when City sold Grealish, Villa had already spent that money. Why don't we just go and spend the money, get the people in, knowing that we're probably going to get it back? Like, we need to start to do that. Whereas Grealish was done, they got the 100 million, they had already spent it. So I just think that we're in a position now where we're going to have to play Son up top, probably, if you know, against City, if Kane can't play. But I don't want Kane to play it. So I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I just don't think acting the way he acted was okay. But yeah, it's like you say, it's very ironic how we had finally got a defender. I think we need another one. Personally, I don't think Tanganga's ready to play the whole season. I know he has injury problems as well. I don't think we can play a decent centre-back and then have Eric Dier next to him. I just think they're like, it's just not okay. So I think we need another centre-half. I think we need obviously a centre-forward. I would like to get a proper creative player as well. And we need a right back if Uriah's going. So there's a lot going on before, and we're playing City. So,
well, we'll come to City a little bit later in the show. I mean, Andy, it's very frustrating. I mean, you've been going a long time as well, and we've always, when forwards have gone, there's always one brought back in. Where do you stand with the board? I mean, I think, in fairness, there's a valuation for Kane, which they're sticking to, and I think correctly. Man City have really unsettled the player as well. Guardiola has said, yes, we're interested in this player. They clearly haven't pulled up the money that I think we all think he's worth in the current market. You look at Lukaku going to Chelsea for about 100 million. Kane is worth 130 plus, surely.
I think if Grealish is worth 100, then Harry's worth, you know, maybe 200. I see that there's talk about a new contract. I don't know what the point of that is in terms of maybe.
Those are the rumours today. I find utterly bizarre if there's this massive U-turn.
In terms of getting a release fee, but I mean, I saw that 10 students from the London Academy of Excellence at Tottenham have been offered places at Oxbridge today. Well, clearly Charlie wasn't one of those people who went to that school, because his advice seems to be absolutely counterproductive. I can't see what they're playing at. This stand that Harry's taken has done him no favours, or the club any favours. I don't think I've met a Spurs fan who wouldn't begrudge him going to a club to win things. I don't think anyone, after all he's done for us. But this really has tarnished his reputation. It's such a shame. I feel torn about it, really. And looking back at sort of when we sold Bale and we got seven players, really only Eriksen was the one that was worth it. You know, I hope that doesn't happen with Bale. I hope it doesn't drag on and on, you know, until the end of the transfer deadlines. And that's another worry. You know, it could be like Geronimo the Llama. You know, will he or won't he be put down? which maybe should happen to a few of other players. So I'm kind of torn, and I just don't know what to think anymore. I think Villa handled it really well. They sorted it out, the release fee, and the chief executive gave a proper statement to all the fans, so they knew what was happening. So yes, it's very frustrating, and I don't know where I stand. Sorry.
So quite all right. Sean, I mean, the whole thing to talk about the contract was it appears there is no buyout clause in Kane's last 6-year contract, which is surprising, but that's it. Do you begrudge the board who have a valuation? I think it's right. We're not just going to give away our players for undervalue when there's 3 years of the contract left. And the bottom line is, if Harry does stay, which one could argue at the moment, unless if they don't up their bid, he's going to stay. You have to sort of hope that he just gets his head down and gets on with it. And if he says he's Spurs and through and all this, hopefully he can do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I said at the top of the show, he's the last player out of the entire squad I expected any of this sort of behaviour from. And look, we have to take his quotes at some face value, in that he said, you know, I haven't refused to train. There's reasons going on behind the scenes as to why I've not returned. But look, Nuno has said it himself, or made it quite clear in his assumptions in his interviews, in that something has happened. There's been conversations behind closed doors that perhaps haven't been reflected very well on Kane. But at the end of the day, you're under contract. You've got another 3 years on your contract. You turn up until you don't need to turn up anymore. And really, you know, there hasn't actually been a proper offer on the table from City, as far as I know. They haven't actually laid down the money, or close to the money, to actually say, yes, we would like you. So for him to, you know, down tools and refuse to train and not show up is, it's so wrong. It's so wrong on a magnitude of reasons as to why he shouldn't be doing that. And as I say, you'd expect far better from the England captain, a man who has, you know, been so eloquent and graceful over the summer in dealing with the stuff surrounding Bukayo Saka, one of his players in the England camp, and how well he's dealt with the upset of losing the final and how well he's managed, you know, his fellow England colleagues. And he is an absolute poster boy for everything we as a classy club aspire to be. And I'm baffled. I'm absolutely baffled at it. Going back to the contract situation, you know, it's quite clear that he has been poorly managed and he has been poorly advised as to what the best action is to take. But then again, you know, what, 3 years ago when he signed that deal, the hope probably would have been that Pochettino is still here. This project, this Fergie legacy that Pochettino intended to have, would, you know, some of the fruits of the labour would start to show and we'd have 2-3 trophies hopefully by now. So back then, 3 years ago, a 6-year deal probably at face value looked quite a good idea. But within that, the finer details of that are that he knew what age he was going to be when he's 3 years into this deal, 6 years into this deal. He knows that, you know, football is a horrible game and you haven't got long in it. And if it came to it that we hadn't won these trophies, you're going to want to look elsewhere. And I don't begrudge him that in the slightest. He absolutely, correct. Like, he absolutely deserves to be winning the Premier League and in the Champions League. Of course he does. But, you know, within that contract, you need these stipulations that say, you know, if we're not achieving this, I need to have a buyout clause and I need, it's basics for a player of that elite level. And he was elite back in 2018. Don't get me wrong. He was breaking Champions League records and all of that.
Do you believe this? Oh, I had a verbal agreement
absolutely.
With Daniel Levy.
Absolutely. I absolutely
believe it. Do you believe that? Do you see that happening?
But again, it boils back to his mismanagement. Write it down. Get it on paper. Have a formal contract stating exactly that. You know, we're all grown-ups here, you know. You need to have this stuff down on paper. Otherwise, legally, you're not going to have any leg to stand on when it comes to you trying to demand these things you apparently had a gentleman's agreement for. He's been mismanaged to no end. And unfortunately, this mismanagement has extended to him not going to training and being told to not turn up for training, which in turn has caused all of this mess.
Yeah. Eleanor, how do you think the fans are going to react if he runs out on Sunday against the team that he effectively wants to play for? How do you think the fans are going to react to someone that we've obviously adored for so many years, our second greatest goal scorer of all time? How do you think the fans are going to react to him?
I think fans... Most fans will forgive him. I think most fans will forgive him because it's easy to forgive Kane. Just like as we spoke here, we've all said he's been mismanaged. He's been told not to go to training. We don't know if it's him. Like, we don't want to think that because it's our poster boy. It's our Mr. Tottenham. So we won't think that of him. I personally, I don't want him to come out against City. Now, that's a controversial opinion because I understand, obviously, how good of a player he is. But for me, as I've always said, if he went and got injured in the Euros, would he expect us to pay him still? Yes. So why don't you uphold your end of the contract and come to training? Like, that's where I get the whole, oh, well, he deserves to leave. What annoys me, the one thing I always say that annoys me is 100%, okay, he deserves to win trophies. I don't deny that. And obviously it's going to be 10 times easier at City. Like, it's not even a question. But what I do say is when Modric and Bale, and they came out and said, I need to leave to win and all of this, they genuinely did need to leave to win. We were nowhere near any finals, nothing. Now, Kane has played in finals. He's played in semi-finals. We've been the club that's been nearly there. And you also haven't stepped up. So don't say you need to leave to win. Say it'll be easier to win. Don't sit there and say that we're the same club as we were in 2012, because we're not. And it bothers me when people say, oh, you know, he's not going to win anything at Tottenham. He could have. Yes, the team has been awful, but there's never been a time where I have said in a final or a semi-final, we lost the game, but Kane played well. And you can have a performance where you play well and lose the game. You don't have to win the trophy for me to say it's not on Kane today, but it's always been on everyone. So it just annoys me. But yeah, the reaction, I think the reaction will be all right. I don't think it will be too bad. I mean, I think he'll be okay because people are willing to forgive him. Like, if this was Ndombele, can you imagine the reaction from fans if it was Ndombele or someone like that? It just, to me, it just shows it does depend on who it is. So, and I think that people will forgive quite quickly. I don't know if I will. I mean, I might do. If he scores the winner, I'll be like, oh, it's fine. But at the moment, I'm not too happy with him.
Fair enough. Well, let's have a look at pre-season now. Andy, you were at the game at the weekend against Woolwich. We won 1-0. We've generally won, I know pre-season. I remember some pre-seasons when we've won every game and been awful in the league and vice versa. I know it's all about getting fitness up and especially for a new manager, trying out players he's never seen, trying out formations. But generally, looking at this week, we went to Stamford Bridge. We were terrible in the first half, all over the shop. Came back well, drew 2-2. Largely, I thought, against Arsenal, apart from half an hour in the first half, second half, I thought we controlled it and did well. How do you think we've done so far in pre-season on the pitch, Andy?
I think it was encouraging on Sunday, I thought. I don't think we learnt very much that we already didn't know about some of the players. Arsenal looked very, very, very ordinary, I have to say, which is nice. Skip, I thought, looks good. I think he's going to be a pivotal, like a new signing. And when Lo Celso came on, you know, he added that thrust in midfield, that going through the middle, taking players on. He's often been, obviously because of injuries, he's been frustrating as well. But if we can get him back to fitness, he'll make a difference. The defence we've already talked about. I mean, I think I'm very torn about Reguilón. I think he's defending, he's not very good, and he's not even that great going forward on Sunday. Yaphet was good defending, but it doesn't go forward very much. So I can't see him as a right back.
He got forward for the goal. I mean, the goal. I mean, no one could believe he was in the box and out-muscled defender and a good little pass into Sun. I mean, he's been linked with a loan move to Galatasaray, which, if you believe the reports of the paper, Tottenham said, yes, he can go. And he's obviously thinking, well, I want to fight for my place. And I think most Spurs fans, because he's another homegrown one, most Spurs fans would want him to stay. He's another one who's obviously had injuries at key times of his career.
Yes, I think it'd be crazy to let him to loan him out, really. I think he could be important to us and he'll learn a lot at the back. And we can't get this, you know, Sanchez was, you know, who's been terrible really for a while, actually didn't do badly on Sunday and actually sprayed a couple, two or three really good passes, which everyone was amazed at. You know, it's always so frustrating. No one's consistent, are they? They kind of play a good game or two and then they go back to normal form. So, but inevitably, I still feel a bit optimistic. I don't know why. Must be my age, I think. I'm still alive. So I guess I'm still going to Tottenham. And what I thought was particularly nice was how the Spurs fans clapped the Arsenal players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was worried we were going to get all that nonsense about you've let your country down and everything. And I thought that was really impressive.
Absolutely. So we're a good bunch.
May not happen in the league game, but I thought that was quite
something. We're a good bunch of Spurs, no matter what some other fans think of us. We are generally a good bunch when it comes down to it. Sean, I mean, let's talk about the defence. Now, obviously, Romero's coming in. Another one who's not fit. He's got a slight injury. Who would you currently put, assuming we don't get another centre-back in? I know, according to reports, we are trying to get another one in. But assuming we don't at the moment, who do you think would be... And I know he likes playing through at the back as well, but which we haven't seen that much of in pre-season a little bit. Who would you think would probably get the place alongside him against Manchester City on Sunday?
I think he'll probably end up going with Eric Dier, who is, as I don't know how he's earned this title, but it's somewhat of a safety net now for Nuno, and he's used him, he's used him throughout pre-season. I think obviously he's got options there now. He's got Sanchez and Tanganga as well. They're both fully fit. The fact Romero isn't is a real shame, but I think he'll probably end up with Dier. I mean, We need to do more in the market, don't we? I mean, it's just not good enough to let someone like Toby go and not replace him. And I know you know, amongst a long list of players that we do need to move on. But I think, you know, Toby and Lamella, I think, were the last two of that bunch that I would have let go. Certainly players we needed to move on. But, you know, I think Sanchez and Sissoko and Dier and Aurier, there's a whole host of players that I would have sold prior to selling those two. But
I don't think they can sell them. This is the issue. Well, I think when it comes down to it, they're probably on decent money at Tottenham. Another club's got to come in a very, very difficult climate. Let's not forget the climate of the pandemic. And you look at Inter Milan and big finance, Barcelona and big financial issues. There's not many clubs out there with money. I think this is another problem.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you mentioned Sissoko there and trying to shift him. I mean, that's the hardest job in football. I don't envy Daniel Levy at all trying to shift Sissoko on. But I mean, on top of that, they've, you know, he's on a massive wage, Sissoko. His family are very happy and comfortable in London. He's got young kids in school. I think he's 32 in a few weeks' time. He's, you know, he's getting on, so to speak, really. So that's an incredibly hard job to move him on. But obviously a position we've put ourselves in by giving him such large wages. But we certainly need to do more in the market. But I fear that we are waiting to see what the Kane situation is going to be as a result.
Yeah, this is it.
But yeah, he takes a lot of stick. But I actually thought it was, you know, incredibly generous, really, of Daniel Levy to let PSG have Messi on this occasion, you know.
A
squad player for us, but a guaranteed starter for them. So you got to respect that for
me. I was amazed he wasn't enticed by a 50% discount on Skywalk to join Tottenham. I was amazed that didn't happen. And I don't know, a lot of fans, I did a kind of question on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. A lot of the fans came back to me when I said, who would you play alongside Romero? And the 80-odd% all said Rodon. Which I was quite surprised by. Still a young centre-back. What are your feelings about that centre-back partnership?
Do you know what it is? It's because he's the one we have seen the least, so we don't know how bad he is.
That's actually why.
We know Dier can have one great game and then be an absolute disaster. Sanchez is almost a mistake waiting to happen. I mean, that whole back line. Like, I mean, I was never Jose's biggest fan. Everyone knows this, but he was right about Uriah being a VAR decision away from a penalty. Like, there's that whole back line is just an issue. So I think with Rodon, it's like, we haven't seen him make that many mistakes because he's hardly played for us. So let's chuck him there. I mean, I forget about him, but he could probably go there. Do you know what? We need another centre-back so badly because this situation is dreadful. But, yeah, I would say Rodon, you know, as well, solely on that reason as well. Like, I'm not going to deny it's for another reason, but it is because we haven't seen him a lot. And Dier, to me, would make the exact same mistakes. And just like Sanchez, I mean, yeah, he might have played better in a friendly, but I don't trust him. I mean, he was actually face-planted against the last time we played City. So, well, not in the cup, but obviously in the league game. Like, I just don't trust Sanchez. I don't know. I don't trust any of our centre-backs at the moment. So, yeah, I would say Rodon as well. But I can understand the reaction. And, yeah, it's because we don't know him. So, at the moment, it's like, you know, you don't know him. It's cool.
Fair enough. Let's look at the midfield. We're just going to go to a very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss the midfield. Back in a minute. And we're back for the break. Don't forget, for premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/spursshow for about 50p a week. You get all the Spurs news, match reports. Join us there as well. The Spurs Show season ticket live events is back this season for September. Some wonderful ex-players lined up to join us at these lovely little intimate affairs that we do in N17 and W1 as well. Go to season.spurshow.net. Also, as I mentioned, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Leave us a review on iTunes. Andy, the midfield, we've obviously touched upon Skip coming back. That sort of Skip Holby in the middle partnership. I think we can see a lot of that. Dele Alli. Now, let's discuss Dele, who, let's be honest, was very hot and cold against Woolwich. looked awful at times, giving the ball away, and then looked really strung. We saw the dirty side of him. He got booked for a hilarious foul on a player. We know we can do it. This has got to be, and I know it's an awful thing to say something, but this is surely a make or break season for Dele Alli. Would you agree, Andy?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he's not been very good for a good couple of years now. We can't blame Mourinho for that. And it's, again, it's the inconsistency. You just don't quite know what you're going to get with him. He was playing on the sort of left of the midfield, of the three midfield, and he was involved at least. He was busy. He hit the post a couple of times and probably he certainly should have scored. Yeah, should have scored.
Should have scored.
I don't know whether it's all confidence with him. And at times he plays like he's in the playground. He does these little flicks and things, and you know, it's not good enough. But other times he can be... I think he can still be good, but I think you're right. This is it. This is the final season for him, really. He's got to perform. He's got to come up. I think it's all to do with confidence with him, as with quite a few of other players. And Ndombele is another completely enigmatic player. What on earth is he? Is he still on paternity leave? This is almost like elephantine proportions, you know.
I think he's back. According to Nuno, who sort of critically said he's not ready to be in the match day squad, which is a little bit bizarre.
I mean, you see him do some fantastic things, those little twists and turns. Maybe he's got the twisties, I don't know. But he's obviously capable of great things, but has really been frustrating, very frustrating on and off the field. We do need another creative midfielder. We haven't really replaced Eriksen. I'm hoping Lo Celso might be that player. But I think we do need someone else, and I'm just hoping that Dele might be able to shine. But we'll soon know. I think we'll soon know within the first 6 weeks or so. We'll know what Dele's going to do.
Sean, I mean, you know, the other players there that have featured a lot in pre-season, Moura, Bergwijn, both look lively. You kind of know what you're going to get with Moura. You know what you're going to get with Bergwijn. You know what you're going to get with Son. You know what you're going to get with Holbier. Skip looks even more confident than when he left. Obviously, he was player of the season for Norwich City. The new players coming, this young guy from Spain, Brian Gil, I think it's... pronounced. I hope I haven't offended our Spanish listeners, but that's what it sounds like. He looks like a bit enigmatic, but he's not going to be playing week in, week out immediately, is he? I mean, what would your sort of midfield pick be again for Sunday?
To be honest, I think, well, my midfield pick perhaps wouldn't be any of them, to be honest. None of them are excited me at the moment, but I think that the midfield that Nuno will go with will likely be the one that starts against Arsenal. So I think a holding pair perhaps of Skip and Højbjerg, Bergwijn, Alli and Lucas making up the three behind Son on his own. I mean, look, we could do a lot worse than Oliver Skip, as you said. You know, he's had a fantastic season at Norwich. He really excites me. I think he has just an incredible amount of potential. And also, I think he has a higher peak than the previous Oliver Skip, who was, of course, Harry Winks. And I go back to that dreadful night in, March last year when we lost to Norwich in the Cup at home. And it was the first time that I'd seen Skip really in the flesh. And he played alongside Winks, which was quite rare to see, you know, essentially the same player, the same style of player in next to each other. And he outshone Winks that night, and he hadn't really had any first-team experience at all. And Harry Winks had been a first-teamer for 3 years by then. And I think his peak is far higher, and I'm really excited by him. But I think the sad realisation we've got to come to is now that the signings we bring and the players that we have in their squad aren't Champions League level, which is a sad thing for us, because we've had a nice period where we're used to Champions League football and Champions League level players and calibre players, but unfortunately that's not where we are now. And I think we have to look at this season in that we're top four is going to be a massive struggle. There are easily four better teams than us in this league, and I think we will be in a middle bundle of your Leicester's, maybe even Liverpool's, Arsenal's, West Ham's, fighting for that middle gap, because there are, as I say, easily four better teams than us, if not five, six or seven. So it's going to be an interesting season, but I think we could do a lot worse than starting with Skip, Højbjerg and the rest in that midfield.
Yeah, I totally agree. Eleanor, the other player that's come back, that I'm always a big fan of, and again, just go, come on, is obviously Ryan Sessegnon, a player that's come back. Again, hasn't featured at all in pre-season. We've got so many potentially really exciting young players, and as Sean said, you know, this could be a tricky season. This season, I think, could go both ways. I think these players click. Nuno gets a tune out of them. We have a far more exciting season than many of us think. Or a couple of early defeats. Kane going, deadline window shut, so we can't replace him. This could also be a really long, depressing season.
Awful. Yeah. Yeah, like you say, it could literally both ways. Sadly enough, I'm always like the fan that always thinks like, oh, yeah, we probably won't do as well. But that's just because I'm accustomed to thinking that we're not that good because of PTSD of this club. But, with Sessegnon, I really liked him. When we got him from Fulham, I was very, very excited. I think he did really well for Fulham, and he was very young with the right work ethic. I really liked him. Obviously, we got rid of a manager that developed young players, and we got Jose Mourinho in. So it's probably very good that he went on loan, because I don't think he would have got many chances under Jose. So do think that was good for him. I think he's not really a left back. I think he's more of like a left wing player. I think he could turn into like the way Bale was playing. So he was a left back and then move further up. That's what I think from what I have seen. So it's going to be hard when Son's playing left wing for him to get his chances. So I think that if Son goes in the middle, we might see him a little bit. Obviously, we don't know. But I think he's, like you say, very exciting young player. The Conference League could be quite exciting for him. I'm hoping we will see these players get their game time in some cups in the Conference League, and obviously play some more attacking football that can actually benefit the way he plays. Because when he was at Fulham, he did like to run down the wing. He does like to be more attacking, more up forward on the pitch, and get goals. He did score as well.
Yeah.
So I am excited about Sess. I've always liked Sess. I've always backed him. And obviously when that all happened, it wasn't great. So I do back him. I really like him.
Do you think, Anne, do you think this is right? These young players we're going to see in this bizarre Conference League we've got in a couple of weeks' time, a Portuguese second division team you suspect will go through. And how seriously do you think he's going to take this third tier European competition, which do you think he'll literally just play the kids, or do you think what do you think he's going to do with it, Andy?
I think if he'd been a bit more established at Tottenham, if he'd been there longer, he might risk the kids. But I think he'll want to get some wins under his belt, keep the fans happy. I mean, I think he should play more kids, but I think he'll play a sort of mixture, I think, to begin with. And no one's very excited. I mean, last day of the season, we were so torn about what we wanted to happen. We wanted to finish above Arsenal. We wanted Chelsea not to qualify the Champions League. But I don't think many of us wanted to go into this new competition.
I think a lot of fans now, because the pandemic, want to travel. And I, for one, want to go to away games in towns and cities that I've never heard of. Against clubs that I've never heard of. I think it's quite exciting for fans if we are allowed to travel again.
That's a chance to go to Northern Ireland, I suppose.
Well, we know they're out. Llan are 4-0 down against this Portuguese team, so I don't think we'll have trip to Northern Ireland this month. I'd rather go to Portugal, if I'm honest. I apologise to my Northern Ireland listeners as well. Sean, I mean, let's just sort of try and turn our attention to Sunday. I mean, a difficult start playing the champions of England, who've just obviously forked out £100 million on Grealish. We have a very good record against Man City, beaten them at home in the last two seasons. In a way, you could argue it's a good time to get them before they hit the ground running. How do you see Sunday panning out?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's a great time to have them, especially off the back of that really surprising Community Shield defeat to Leicester. I mean, who saw that coming? But a great time to play them. I cast my mind back to Poch's last season, to when was it, 2 years ago now? I've lost all track of time in the pandemic. But we went to the Etihad and we drew to all, didn't we? That controversial Jesus goal, I think, was it, that was disallowed through VAR. And you know, a great point on the road and set us up for a relatively strong start. So I think, yeah, the start of the season is definitely the best time to play them. We obviously beat them before Christmas last season as well. So catching them before that Christmas, January upturn is definitely the time to get them. I think we have to take confidence in the fact that Son has signed his new deal. He's had a very strong latter half of pre-season.
A lot of fans, I mean, let's be honest, I think a lot of supporters were surprised by that. And when you go back to loyalty and players that are happy somewhere, and now you could argue it's not all about winning trophies, it's all about being happy in an environment where you are still earning good money. That was a wonderful a boost, really, to all of us when Homin Son signed that contract.
Absolutely. And I'd put my house on him bagging one against City. He does love scoring against them. And I mean, the quote from him today, I don't know if you've seen with his interview with Sky, but he said, I'm so grateful to be here, honoured to play with the club. Now another 5 years, I hope we can achieve big things. I mean, that's how it's done. Wink, wink, Harry Kane. You know, a real show of loyalty from him. And, you know, I love him to bits. I think he's a fantastic talent. We're so, so lucky to have him. He would do amazing things at your Real Madrid's, your Barcelona's, I'm sure of it. And, you know, we're a real talent that we've got. But yeah, Sunday's going to be, you know, no bones about it, an incredibly, incredibly tough game. You've got, you know, players like Grealish now within their squad who can change a game. And I mean, their bench at the weekend, Grealish, Rodri, Bernardo Silva, you know, just incredible talents that they've got, and that they can flip a game on its head in the, you know, blink of an eye. So we've got to be on our best behaviour, so to speak. But hopefully that Nuno can take some of his experience with his scalps against the big six that he got against Wolves. You know, Wolves became quite famous for that in particularly their first and second seasons back in the Premier League. So optimistically, blindingly, rather going into this one with some optimism.
Give us a score prediction, Sean.
I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1. I don't know. What's your score prediction for Sunday?
I can't share the same optimism, but it's fine. I hope that you're right. I'm going to go 2-1 to them. I do see Son scoring. I just don't trust our defence.
Yeah, I agree. Andy, what's your prediction for Sunday? Give us a score prediction.
I agree with Sean. I'm going for 1-1. Yeah. And don't you wish that Harry's father was like Sonny's father, won't let him do anything?
Yeah.
Shop and get married. That's who we need. We need a new father for Harry Kane.
Yeah, I'm gonna be optimistic, and I'm going to say 2-1 Tottenham with Harry Kane getting the winner. How about that? That would be lovely. Look, guys, we're running out of time. So much to pack in our first show. Just to let listeners know that the plan this season is to give you two shows a week here on the Spurs Show. Every Friday or Saturday, there'll be a special show. We've got coming up, we've got an interview with Norman Giller with his new book. We've got an interview coming up 1 week with Mike Donovan about his new book about Dave McKay. We've got an interview with Jimmy Pearce. Older fans will remember Jimmy Pearce from the early 70s. We've got lots of special things coming up for our twice a week show. But that's our first show of the season. Relatively upbeat despite an awful pre-season. Sean, thank you so much for coming back. It's always lovely to have you on. Eleanor, thank you so much for coming back. Andy, thank you very, very much. We'll see you again at the end of the week. Until then, come on, you Spurs.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at spursshow.net.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.